name is Notanda Wolkeshoffen. I am a family physician and a life coach for other doctors and for lawyers who show up consistently for other people. I've been doing this work for about 5 years now, and what I've found is that all of my clients are experts at showing up for other people on a professional level, and that this level of expertise is not necessarily reciprocal, meaning we can be really good at showing up for other people and not so great at showing up for and prioritizing our own needs. Not only because these aren't natural skill sets per se, but also because we work in environments where it can seem a little bit taboo, a little bit countercultural to have healthy boundaries and to set certain limits that make us inaccessible to people at all times, right? Not that we're never accessible, of course we are, right? Just look at anybody's typical week on-call schedule, we're accessible. But again, that having certain limits and boundaries in place that make us inaccessible at certain times can actually seem to be frowned upon or discouraged. And so today, what I was hoping to do in this masterclass is to equip you with an approach to having difficult conversations. Difficult conversations with patients, difficult conversations with clients. Because in order to make sure that we are prioritizing our health, we oftentimes need to have conversations that can feel uncomfortable both for ourselves and for the people that we are in communication with. Yeah? And not only this, but sometimes in order to set these limits and have these conversations, we all need to be uncomfortable, but it's not just for us. It's actually for the greater good. It's actually in the client's best interest that we have this difficult conversation, or the patient's best interest that we have this difficult conversation. And so as we go through this training, I want to suggest to you that having difficult conversations, although it may not come naturally at first, is a learned skill. You can learn it. And that also it's something that will benefit not only you, but also the people that you serve. Being able to be clear and honest and very upfront in your communication with them is a very considerate and professional thing to do. Okay, so I just want to preface everything that we say with that. Now, here's what I find when I'm coaching people one-on-one. I find that they are very aware of the difficult conversations that they do need to have. Right? It's not that we don't know what we need to talk about or what needs to be said or addressed, but rather it's just that we don't yet have an approach that is reliable and reproducible. I'm going to offer that to you today, but my one-on-one clients often have difficulty with difficult conversations, not because of the content of the conversation, but because of the delivery of that conversation. Ain't nobody want to have these hard conversations, right? So what they tend to do, rather than addressing these difficult topics head on, is they tend to spend a lot of time thinking about the conversation. And this time can really seem like productive time. It can really seem productive to brainstorm and to come up with a list of all stakeholders involved and to try and put ourselves in each of those stakeholders' viewpoints, to do cost-benefit analyses, to spend time analyzing other people's psyche. But we're very good at this stuff. We're very empathetic, and it is very easy for us in these caring professions to go above and beyond and to spend lots and lots and lots of time thinking about other people and what they may be thinking and how they may be feeling and how what we have to say may be influencing their own state of mind, right? And so rather than ever actually sitting down with these people and having these conversations, what we'll do is we'll just think about having these conversations and think about the factors that go into each person's opinions and thoughts and experiences. And again, the tricky thing with this is that it can feel productive, especially if we are, for example, taking a patient's comorbidities into consideration, specifically if those comorbidities fall into the realm of mental health disorders that could influence their reception of our conversation. It can seem productive to be thinking about our patients as a whole and factoring in how their varying diagnoses may be impacting their ability to hear what we're saying or to work with us in a way that is sustainable. But what I want to offer is, you know when you are overthinking. You know when you really do just need to have a conversation and your brain is spending unproductive and excessive amounts of time thinking through these conversations, right? And so, again, what I tend to find is that my one-on-one clients will sometimes find themselves ruminating or thinking through a difficult conversation rather than actually having it. And if they're not doing this, if they're determined to have the conversation, the other thing that I find them doing is trying to come up with the perfect wording to express how they truly feel. And again, I'm all for crystal clear communication. I'm all for being direct, but also warm and tactful in our choice of words and in our style of communication. However, looking for the perfect wording is really a ruse, right? It's a red herring. It is a distraction because there is no perfect way to communicate difficult news. There is no perfect way to communicate a boundary. There are very excellent ways. Again, I'm going to share those with you. But we want to let go of needing to have the perfect script before moving forward in conversation, because that really limits our ability to move forward. It really delays things when we're looking for a thesaurus, trying to find the right words. So again, my clients will either think a lot about different people's viewpoints and perceptions before having a conversation, or they will spend a lot of time trying to script the perfect way to say something. And then I'll just mention one last pitfall that I commonly see, in case this is something that happens to you. Again, to normalize this, but also to identify that this is not the way, okay? The other thing I see my clients getting a little bit caught up in when they're thinking about having these difficult conversations, and this often happens on a more personal level. And what I mean by that is if the conversation is actually not within a professional setting, but rather with your friends or with your family, oof, even tougher in some instances. What my clients might do is they actually have the conversation, but they over-explain. They go on and on, and they want to insist that they are making themselves clear, and they want to insist on hearing the other person's side, and they want to insist on coming up with a final situation where everybody feels, you know, happy. They want to insist on creating a final situation where ain't nobody in their feels, right? Nobody's upset. Everyone's perfectly happy with the outcome. And what this means oftentimes is that either my clients are watering down what they actually had meant to say, or they're saying it and then adding to it in ways that are unhelpful. Adding, for example, compromises that are unhelpful, or adding the potential to talk more about this and change things later on. And that's not helpful. I'll tell you why this tends to happen towards the end of this discussion, but I just wanted to point out those three pitfalls and steer you instead to a solution that creates meaningful conversations. Here's how I want you to approach having difficult conversations, because the end goal is to have a very clear understanding between you and the other party, and then to also have a clear path moving forward about what this means, right? So you want to actually have the conversation and be very clear on your standards, and then also to be able to move forward knowing that at least on your part, things have been expressed in a clear way. So your approach first, and let me caveat that much of this is the behind the scenes work before you actually have the conversation. Okay, the first three steps are like behind the scenes, but don't let them take that long. But first, you want to get really clear on who you are in your profession, or if it's in a personal situation, who you are in that personal setting, recognizing your leadership and expertise. Again, you want to get clear on who you are in your profession, and this includes actually recognizing, acknowledging your leadership and your expertise. And why this is so important is because if you know where you're coming from, what your role is, then it makes it so much easier for you to present in that way. And it also makes it easier if and when other people don't appreciate what you're communicating. So for example, I completed a fellowship in medical cognitive behavior therapy. It was phenomenal. It was exactly the type of training that I felt I needed after my family medicine residency, because I love working with people at a cognitive level. And I also love working with people on a therapeutic conversational level. And we know in medicine that our first line treatment for so many mental health disorders is cognitive behavioral therapy. And I just did not feel that I had enough training in that therapeutic modality in residency. And so I completed this fellowship, and part of this fellowship required me to complete several hours of actually offering therapy. And I don't have the exact numbers, but so this is just a rough estimate, but it ended up that I needed to see, let's say, 15 patients a week over several months and for a set amount of time for each patient. And what I found was that because this was not the only work that I was doing, right? I was still the primary care doc in a shelter, and I was still the primary care doc serving uninsured people, and I was still providing addiction medicine, like also seeing 15 patients a week was just not sustainable for me. And so I had to have a conversation with the people training me that looked like, I'm not able to see this volume of patients. I'm still committed to completing my hours. What I can do is see 12 patients a week. It felt like a very difficult conversation because I was in the position of a trainee. I was also told what the expectation was beforehand. And so I had a lot of guilt around this and a lot of nervousness that I would be seen as a slacker or not as serious or whatever the case may be. And so I had to root myself in the knowledge that that is not the case. I am actually a very empathetic physician. I'm also extremely introverted, and I'm a highly sensitive person, right? I had to be very clear on that for myself. I'm empathetic, I'm an introvert, I'm a highly sensitive person, and therefore, I ain't gonna be able to see this many people at this rate. I'll still get all the hours, it's just gonna take me a little bit longer. Right, so in your first step, you need to know who you are, who you are, who you are, because if not, you may feel that you need to prove who you are, and you may feel that you need to present in a way that is not reflective of what it is that you need to communicate. So once you're clear on that, right, like who you are in this role, it then also, in step two, allows you to define your priorities for your outcome. What is it that you would like to see happen? And why is it so important that you communicate this very specific thing in order for that thing to happen? And so for all of us, not just for me, but for all of us, our outcomes are always to serve our patients and clients at the highest level in a way that actually contributes to their quality of life. That's just baseline. That's what we all want. We really did mean it in our entrance interviews that we wanted to help people. And so for me in this scenario, the outcome was I wanted people to get better during their sessions with me, but I also wanted to maintain my own mental health and my own ability to show up in a meaningful way. And I could see that if I continued to do all of these things and see all of these patients at this rate, that that wouldn't have been possible. So I got solid on who I was, so that that wasn't being attacked. And then I defined that my priorities were seeing people in an impactful and sustainable way. So step one, get solid on who you are in your profession and in this role, recognizing that you are a leader, that you do have expertise, right? Defining your priorities for the outcome is step two. And then step three in having difficult conversations is actually defining the parameters for the healthy conversation and the boundaries within which you will have the conversation. So what I mean by that is going to vary depending on who you will be talking to and in what setting. But simply, you want to be able to say, okay, how am I going to have this conversation and what are my limits? When will I end said conversation? Because, you know, in the best case scenario, you're going to muster up all the courage that you need and all the clarity that you need. You're going to get solid on your identity and your priorities for the outcome, and then you're going to approach someone and have a conversation, and it's going to go smoothly. But sometimes what will really happen is that you're going to have to reinforce your position with your actions, with your words, or with both, right? You may have a patient who's really upset with you, and you may just have to restate your policy or end the conversation after knowing that you've stated things clearly at least once. Or you may have to explain to a client the process of working with you and then re-explain when there's a hiccup in the road. You know, pursuant to our agreement, this is the process for handling X, Y, and Z, right? But you're gonna have to define the parameters for a healthy conversation and know when it's time for you to just exit the conversation or repeat yourself succinctly. Because if not, what may happen is that, you know, we fear difficult conversations because sometimes they're difficult. And you may be continuing to have a conversation in an environment where what you're saying is not being received or where you are actually in threat, right? Your safety is being threatened. And so we want to be able to just shut that down. I'm not available for that. And you want to know this in advance so that in the moment, if things become heated, you're not feeling that you need to defend yourself, that you need to be firmer in your tone, that you need to re-explain yourself, none of that. The boundary within the conversation is crossed, then we're moving on. And so then lastly, step four is the most important part, right? That was the behind the scenes work. And then step four is just decide what you're gonna say and how you're gonna say it real quick. And then do it, of course. You're gonna decide what to say, and then you're going to decide how to say it. Is it gonna be in an email? Is it going to be over telephone conversation? Does it need to be in writing so that nothing is misconstrued? Is it going to be at a patient's next in-person visit? How you say it is important, and also what you say is important, but it's something that you just decide on and you move through. Decide and move through. Decide and move through. Decide and implement. Here's what often gets in the way for people when they're actually deciding what to say and how to say it. Number one, guilt, right? And this comes back to what I was saying about pitfalls, that sometimes my clients will overcompensate or they'll acquiesce on certain pieces of what they had wanted to say. And that is because they're feeling such guilt that they let that uncomfortable emotion of guilt guide their subsequent actions. I felt so guilty that I was gonna see fewer patients, so I also offered to see patients in the evenings and on weekends because I knew that the clinic had people who wanted that, and you know, I felt bad that I was seeing fewer people and this was the least I could do. What? No. No. That wasn't what you decided you were gonna say, right? Or, you know, we feel guilty that we can't take on someone's extra call shift. So the next time someone asks for coverage, you drop what you're doing, right? And take it on, even if it really isn't a shift that works well with your schedule. The other emotion that tends to have people act in all sorts of ways is anxiety, and specifically anxiety around being misunderstood. I see people worrying that if they say this, or if they have this difficult conversation, they will be viewed as not a team player. They'll be viewed as cold. They'll be viewed as rigid. Those are all kind ways of putting it. You can fill in the blank, right? Of what people may think about you that may, you know, have you feeling anxious. And I just want to caution you that as you're deciding what to say and how to say it, you want to be really mindful if you find yourself over-explaining or overcompensating because you're feeling guilty or anxious about having this difficult conversation and setting this limit in the first place. Right? So as a brief recap, having difficult conversations is important. It's one of the skill sets that develop when you feel strongly in creating and presenting and maintaining your boundaries. But having difficult conversations is something that we've got to do and that we do often within our fields of work. And a four-step approach to consider is before you have these difficult conversations, you just want to get really solid on who you are in your profession, being certain to really acknowledge your expertise and your leadership and your true intention, because sometimes others won't see that. You want to be sure that you see that. And then you want to define the parameters for a healthy conversation and the boundaries in which you will have the conversation versus end the conversation. I think I forgot to also say you want to define what your priorities are for the outcome of the conversation, which is, you know, being clear on what you will or won't do, being clear on next steps, being clear on behaviors that will or won't be accepted in the future, right? So you want to be solid on who you are. You want to define your priorities for the outcome of the conversation and future interactions, with this person or these people, and then you want to define the parameters for a healthy conversation and the boundaries in which you will have the conversation or end the conversation. And then lastly, you want to decide what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and then you want to go and say it. Okay, being mindful that you're not presenting or opening the discussion from a place of guilt or anxiety or any other unhelpful emotion in that time. So that's that. That's the masterclass on having difficult conversations. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to work on your ability to lead and to have difficult conversations. I'm going to get to some questions, of course, at the end of this conversation, but right now I just want to give you an opportunity to put what I'm saying into practice. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my signature coaching offer. It's called Boundaries for Doctors and Lawyers. And then I'm going to answer any questions that you might have about that program or about having difficult conversations. Boundaries for Doctors and Lawyers is a one-on-one coaching program, okay? And in order to participate in the program one-on-one with me, you must have an initial consult, which is absolutely complimentary and absolutely life-changing. On your one-on-one consult, I'm going to design your coaching package specifically for your unique situation, because I coach on any and everything, but the people that I coach are all coming from different experiences, be that family medicine or surgical specialty, neurosurgery, pediatrics, immigration law, labor and employment law. They're coming from different places, but they're all very demanding places. And so before we get started and enroll you in Boundaries for Doctors and Lawyers one-on-one, you're gonna have a 1 hour consultation with me so that we can really design and tailor your package to your unique situation. So as I'm telling you about the program, I want you to go ahead and click the link in the comments right here to schedule your one-on-one consultation with me. Again, it's completely complimentary, but it is necessary in order for you to get started on the program. I want to make sure that we're hitting the ground running and that we already know exactly what we're going to coach on. So the link is here. It's calendly.com/notando/initial consult, and you'll find my availability and you can slot yourself in. Because in Boundaries for Doctors and Lawyers, what you will get is 6 months of consistent one-on-one coaching on exactly the skills that we just discussed, on developing your leadership and servant leader mentality, your identity as a professional and a leader and an expert in your field, regardless of the external pressures that you might be facing. Because what I find is so many of us, although we are doing such meaningful work, can feel a little bit scattered. We may not see ourselves as organized and clear and leading and highly professional and highly aligned in our work and how we show up both for ourselves and others. So we're going to coach on that. We're going to clarify your commitment suite, what it is that's most important to you during those 6 months and then beyond. We're going to master your boundary setting, stating, and reinforcing skills. And then we're going to walk you through how to make quick and effective decisions. We'll do all of that in 6 months, and we're going to approach it from a framework of radical self-compassion, and we're going to employ advanced CBT skills. Okay? So when you hop on a consult with me, what we'll be doing is tailoring the curriculum in Boundaries for Doctors and Lawyers one-on-one specifically to you. Because the 6-month package comes with once weekly 30-minute sessions of me and you on Zoom working towards your big goal. So we're going to coach on whatever is important to you, be that working towards a promotion or making sure that you leave work on time and have your charting completed, or catching up on billing, or feeling that you have more work-life balance where you're leaving work at work and then actually going home and being present with your family, right? Whatever your goal is, we're gonna work on that primarily, so that by the end of the time that we work together, you can say that you've really accomplished whatever's most significant to you at this time. But we're also going to make sure that along the way you have mastered each of those skills that I mentioned, right? That you have created a really healthy CEO, servant leader mentality, that you've created a really well-aligned commitment suite of your priorities, that you feel really expert and clear and solid in your boundaries, and that you're making decisions that benefit you and others quickly and effectively. How we do this is, when you sign up to get coached by me over the 6-month period in Boundaries for Doctors and Lawyers, you will have a set time each week, and I will email you the link to your private call. We'll hop on Zoom for a very tailored and focused half hour. If you have something that you want to get coached on, whatever it is, we'll coach on that. And if it's been a pretty simple and smooth week and you don't have anything that feels top of mind to get coached on, then I will present to you one of the topics that we decided was important for you on your consult. So every week you're gonna hop on a call and you're gonna be able to explain to me what's going on in clinic, what's going on in your law practice, what your deadlines are, whatever it is. And we're gonna be able to not only troubleshoot any obstacles that might be coming up, but also build a plan to guarantee your success in those areas. So Boundaries for Doctors and Lawyers, again, it's my signature one-on-one coaching offer. It's 6 months of weekly half-hour sessions directly with me. They are private, they are not recorded. And the only way to work with me one-on-one is to first hop on a consult with me so that we can design your package. And when I say design your package, what I mean is really pulling out and tailoring, like, what parts of my set curriculum that I've walked dozens and dozens of clients through apply most to you. The other thing that people will receive in this program is on-call access to me. So in between your sessions, you can email or text me directly. Again, it's private, only my eyes see your messages. And we can do some real-time coaching on things that become urgent. So let's say we hop on a call, we discuss having a difficult conversation with a colleague, and then you have the conversation later that week and you're feeling really upset or you're feeling really nervous, whatever the case may be, you text me, we talk through it, we troubleshoot, we solve it. So not only will you get your weekly 30-minute sessions with me, you'll also have access to me throughout the weeks. So I want to encourage you to sign up for a consult right now so that we can discuss what working together one-on-one would look like for you, and we can discuss how we can actually get you to your next goal right now in real time. And I want to encourage you to do this now, because the thing is, with doctors and lawyers, we never really have time, quote unquote. There is always someone else that we can be serving. There's always someone else who needs our time. There are always competing factors for our time. And so if you can't make time for yourself right now, a complimentary hour in your schedule somewhere, that to me indicates that you are potentially on a path to burnout. Right? We all deserve an hour for ourselves, and this is what a consult will be. It's an hour to come to me as a physician, CBT therapist, and life coach who has heard and walked through many difficult professional and personal experiences with many amazingly talented and intelligent professionals, right? You come to me, I've heard it all, I will digest it, I will analyze it and present it back to you in a way that is crystal clear and solves any problems you might be having. That's what happens on a consult, and that's what I think each of us in law and medicine deserves. So again, you just want to set up a time to chat with me one-on-one, and we'll go over how this might be helpful to you. And so I did say I would make some time to answer any questions. One that I get a lot is, will I be able to get the most of this out of this right now? Right? Like, this sounds like a really busy time for me. And again, the answer is absolutely. You will, especially if you're not sure that you'll be able to, quote unquote, get the most out of it. When people ask me that, I know right away that they're in the good student mentality. Like, will I be able to show up and take the best notes and review my notes and contribute? And I want to be really clear that coaching is not school. I've got a curriculum for you. I will walk you through each of these steps, but quite frankly, they're simple. Quite frankly, they're nowhere as complex as the types of material that you've already learned and mastered within your professional life. And so you don't need to approach a coaching relationship the way that you would approach a master's level course, for example. You will get everything that you need out of this package. And why I'm so confident is in saying that is because this used to be a 3-month program. So it used to be a 3-month program because people got results in 3 months. But 6 months, that's like a no-brainer. In 6 months, you're going to get your original results, what you came for, and then some. I just factored in that sometimes people need to miss a session. Sometimes they're in hospital 1 week and not the other. And so that hospital week is just too crammed. I factored in, you know, the regular stuff that my clients come with that isn't a problem at all. And I've just extended the length of the package to guarantee that you're going to get what you came for and then some, even if and when you need to reschedule appointments. And then that's the other thing that people always ask me, like, every week sounds kind of intense. Do we really need to meet every week? Yes and no. It's most effective if we meet every week, but on the weeks that you can't come, you can't come, and it's no problem. But planning to set aside a half hour for yourself every single week is extremely helpful because think about all that you do in a single week. Think about all the people you see in a single week. Think about all the difficult cases. And then ask me, would you like to chat about that at the end of every week? I think so. Also, the more frequently you're hearing this kind of conversation, the kind of conversation that challenges you to look at yourself as an asset rather than as someone who is deficient, the more frequently you have me in your ear reminding you of how meaningful the work that you do is, the more frequently you have me in your ear saying, what are you talking about? I don't agree that you are a problem in this situation. The more frequently you have me reminding you, like, oh, wasn't that a boundary? The quicker you'll be able to implement and consolidate this work into the fabric of your everyday life. And so weekly sessions are particularly important. Okay, and then, yeah, I will answer this question here, and I just want to say thank you for asking this, because I know that this is a really common question that my clients have, and it can feel like a vulnerable one, and that is, should I do this or therapy? The answer is, I'm happy to tell you in your individual case on a consult. I have a lot of clients actually who do both, and that's not a problem, because coaching and therapy can be very different in some ways and can also be alike. I have provided both, and so I can answer that for you on a consult. If it's a question that you have, just know that I'm happy for you to do both. I have no issues with you working with a therapist at the same time that you see me. I also have no issues discussing things that seem and feel heavy. There are no topics that are off limits in coaching. And so I'm happy, again, to chat with you one-on-one. If you want to just book a consult now, regardless if you're not sure which modality would be best for you, we'll work through that and come to an understanding together. Happy to do that for you. All right, y'all. That was it for this training masterclass on having difficult conversations. I can't wait to chat with you one-on-one. I think that's where the deep work happens. That's where the consolidation of this information happens. If you have any questions at all, you can email me directly. Or, again, the best way to get those questions answered is to hop on a one-on-one call with me. Okay, so I'll talk to you then. And thank you so much for your time.